GettingPositiveKarmaNow.com presents Bhagavad Gita for All, lectures by Nalin K. Narula, recorded in front of a live audience.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Last time we had completed, and the text was, for the continuity, the text was, Anantavanta ime deha nitya anashina apramayasya tasmat yudhasva bharata. So Krishna told Arjun that because only the material body is subject to destruction, living entity which is sitting inside the destructible body is indestructible, immeasurable and eternal. And only the body is subject to destruction, so therefore there is no loss. Because there is no loss in the sense that the living entity continues, there is no loss, so therefore you should fight, descendant of Bharat Maharaj. So, we go on.
Yāyenāṁ vetti hantāraṁ yācāyenāṁ manyate Atam bhau tau na vijanitayam hanti na hanyate.
Yāyenāṁ vetti, he who knows this, that the living entity is the killer or the one who is killed, does not understand. However, one who is in knowledge knows that the self is never killed and is never committing any killing. He never kills nor is caused any killing. So, this does not actually encourage violence or killing. It does not encourage killing of the body. The body is not to be killed because it is the vehicle of the living entity for it to fulfill its karmic destiny. And the biggest aparad is to prevent a living entity from fulfilling their karmic destiny. However, in the interest of righteousness and proper action, where there is injustice and there is an inimical force which is not responding to anything else, killing is permitted according to regulations. So it is not random, it is not whimsical, specified kind of a cause which is to fight for the protection as a kshatriya, to fight for the protection of the population, for the innocent, and to protect the weak. And so when there is opposition on the path of righteousness, it is the duty of a kshatriya to fight. Otherwise, whimsical killing is punishable.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachit na yam bhutva bhavita va na bhuya ja ayam purana na hanyate hanyamane sharire.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Never, at any time, past, present or future, kadachit, never. Past, present and future is what we look at, and such an entity never dies and never takes birth because it is unborn, aja, unborn, nitya, eternal, shashvata, permanent. It is the oldest, purana, oldest. Na hanyate hanyamane, and is never killed, and Hanyamane sharire, when the body is destroyed. Now it is significant that the word has been used, purana, meaning there is in the living entity, the soul self, the eternal self, there is no growth. There is no manifestation and appearance, because that only happens with growing things or things that are not permanent, such as the body. So it is not that the soul was never there before the body, is what the explanation is here. Because the soul gets embodied in different bodies and it appears and disappears bodily wise, but itself it is never destroyed, because it is the oldest ever existing and therefore not subject to the laws, which is that it comes into existence, it grows, there are some modifications, there is some deterioration, and ultimately there is some decay and death. So there are these six things that happen to material nature, and that is not happening to the soul self. So it is stated, this is confirmed in various Upanishad, and similar shlokas are there. So the text 21 continues to say, Veda vinashinam nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katam saha purushaha parthakam ghatyati hantikam. How can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, immutable, eternal, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? The soul itself is not causing anyone to be killed. It is the accretion around the soul of the body, which includes the false ego, the false identification as being part of the body and its expansions. Those considerations may inspire people to kill or to feel that they are killing or being killed. But the internal, eternal soul self is never dying. But in the law, even in the Manu Samhita, that if there is somebody who commits a murder, he should be executed. The reason he should be executed is that to get rid of the karma of having killed someone, he must give up his own body, so that is relieved of the burden of the karmic consequences of having committed murder. So that's why the death penalty is very much recommended in order to liberate the living entity. But this is possible only in an enlightened society. Otherwise, due to other considerations, not having this say that this is not good, if somebody has committed murder, let him be rectified. Unfortunately, that rectification doesn't take place unless the person himself is officially executed. However, murder is not sanctioned, certainly, and it is to be understood surgical operations, you can say. These are operations meant for the saving of the living entity, which is inside the imperishable living entity situated in the perishable body. Then we have text 22. Vasamsi jirnani, old worn out garments, just as a person gives up old worn out garments, similarly the soul accepts new material and useless ones. So the point is that the body is created out of your karma. And because karma is continuing, if you lose a body, there is no loss. Second, that if your body is old and worn out and deteriorating, you are getting a new body, what is the loss? There is no loss. It is only the attachment to the expansions of the connections of the body that make you feel the loss, thinking that you have lost certain support, you have lost certain benefits that you were getting from that living entity who is in that body. but your karmic consequences will continue to deliver to you your benefits through some other people, some other bodies. So there are other surrogates, you can say, that may take the place to deliver to you the results of your destiny. So as far as the body is concerned, because the body is just a changeable garment eventually, keeping in mind all that has been said earlier about the importance of the body also, because the body helps you to get ahead in the objectives of your life, is not that of great value, but it is not of imperishable value. That is the point. So we are focusing on that aspect. Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that specific aspect. Text 23. Nainam chindanti nainam dahati pavaka na chainam kledayanti apa marutaha. Nainam chindanti. This soul self cannot be cut into pieces, cannot be pierced, chindanti. Shastrani by any weapon, ti pavaka, it cannot be burnt by fire, the soul cannot be burnt by fire, and never, na, chayenam kledyanti apa, nor can the soul be drowned or in water, and it can never be shoshyati, dried by the wind. So all kinds of weapons, materials, the elemental weapons that are there, all the elements are accounted. There is the cutting weapon, there is the burning weapon, there is the drowning or the water weapon or the choking weapon, and then there is the wind weapon. So you cannot be destroyed by any of these elements. You means the soul. Text 24. Achedyo ayam adahyo ayam akledyo shushya evacha nitya sarvagataha salayam sanatanaha. This is text 24. So that the individual soul is unbreakable, achedya, unbreakable, indivisible, and cannot be burnt, is not soluble, cannot be dried, and it is everlasting. Sarvagata, it is all-pervading. All-pervading. Sthanu achala, it is unmoving, unchanging. Sthanu achala, does not change its position. The position of the soul is unchanging, and it is certainly I am Sanatana, the soul is Sanatana, the same. So there is no birth for the soul. It is Purana, Puratan, it is the ancient. There is no change, it is eternal, it does not grow. Its growth is only of things that are deteriorating eventually. So the soul is constantly the same. So it is unchangeable. So when we tell you also that all you have to do is to remove ignorance or the materially destructible thinking patterns, the illusory patterns that come as part of the living entity's false ego, the more we are able to remove that, more the eternal consciousness and intelligence of the soul will shine. And in spirituality, there is no evolution of spirituality in that sense. It is only a removal of the coverings of Maya. Krishna tells Arjuna in the fifth, avyakta ayam achintaya ayam avikarya ayam muchyate tasmatevam viditva enam nanushochitam arhasi. It is said that the soul, achintya, inconceivable, cannot think of it with your mind. And the soul, I am, avikarya, is unchangeable, and I am uchyate tasmat evam vidtva. Therefore, when you note na anushochitam, lament over this arhasi. So do not be in grief. You do not deserve to be in grief about something which is not grievable, because the soul is constant. So explaining to Arjun that the soul is constant, indestructible, and it is only the body, and one is going to get another body pretty soon, and that is texts 26 and 27. Atha chainam nitya jatam nityam vamanyase mritam tathapi tvam mahabaho marhasi. If you think that this soul is perpetually born and always dies like the body, still you have no reason to lament. O mighty armed one, mahabaho, have the strength. And Mahabaho means because you are accepting the Vedic version and not the other versions that are talking about your body dies, you die. You are willing as a Kshatriya to give up your life for the Kshatriya Vedic culture, which shows that you are actually very strong in intelligence and mind as well as in the body. So the 27th shloka is Jatasya hi dhruva dhruvam janma mrittasya cha tasmat aparihare arthena tvam sochitam. So that we already covered, that he is not worthy of lamenting. And then finally Krishna tells him in the 28th text of avyakta vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhanani eva tatra ka paridevana. All the beings that are created are in the physical form in the beginning, and they appear or manifest in the middle, and then again they are unmanifested when the bodily form is destroyed. So what is the need for lamentation? So every which way, Krishna is explaining that the soul is not destroyed because it is the soul that is causing the body, not the body that is creating the soul. It is the soul that gathers the body around it according to its destiny, according to the karma, and it is wearing those bodily garments, and those bodily garments change in time, and the soul is ever eternal. It is not destructible by any element, it is not destructible, destroyable by any weapon of any kind, and it is there even before the body, and it will continue to be there after this body because it will find another bodily home. So the element of constancy means no growth, no birth, no death. So all those things are there. And then if there is no growth, how do we grow personally? Well, the answer is very simple. We grow personally by removing the layers of illusion and maya in front of our eyes, in front of our intelligence, which is to be done study and meditation on the truth through the guidance of a spiritual master and with the empowerment of spiritual energies, a bona fide spiritual master who is actually operating on the cataracts of ignorance that cover one's vision with the laser beam of knowledge. Om Ajnanam Timirandasya, you remember that shloka. So when your ignorance is removed instantly, and then it is a process of your working to manifest that light in your life. So finally, again and again, Krishna is asking that because things appear and disappear, it's the natural course of life, what is there to lament? So it is only one's own feeling of loss that I have lost something. We are rather lamenting for the loss of some perceived benefit of association that we are having with that personality. So Krishna is saying, but that is normal. More importantly, you have to understand what is behind this whole sequence. So we will close today at text 28. And if there are any questions, I shall take questions now from people, if you have any.
But the text says that soul doesn't need any sort of progress.
No, soul, it never grows. It never diminishes and it never disappears. Whereas these are considerations for the body. The body is manifest, it comes into being, it grows, then it starts to dwindle, and then it decays, and then it disappears, it dies. So those things don't happen to the soul.
So, but the soul, man, buddhi, ahankar is always attached.
That is there, but that is always existing. In the body, there is the subtle body, which we cannot see. So, Krishna is saying that the soul is invisible. But certainly the soul has a mind. It has a spiritual body, but it does not have a material body. So that spiritual body is not visible.
That spiritual body also doesn't need to...
Because it is eternally in knowledge. It has got all the knowledge that is needed. It is eternally conscious. So when we say that a person is enlightened or advanced spiritually, means that his soul self is shining forth more. Of ignorance covering the soul self have reduced, have thinned out, have disappeared, and this person is, the inner light is now shining forth. And that is possible through the practice of healing. So as you continue to do your specific healing, as that has been given, your sadhana, and not get distracted by other things as substitutes for doing this, then your soul self begins to shine forth. And that is when the true intelligence comes out, and then people are not having this soul self developing in the sense of shining through, which is not really a development of the soul self, but we think that it might be, because it appears so. But what is happening is that the illusion is disappearing. Knowledge and consciousness of the soul is spreading out. So when a person is seeing correctly the truth as it is, when they're able to discriminate, the soul self is shining through. So where the people are not doing this, for example, they're blinded by fear, by attachment, which are all the attributes of being attached to the body, and lamentation, because they are thinking they are getting certain benefit from a person, and they are averse to losing that benefit, and they do not know how much more benefit there is by actually allowing the soul self to shine forth, then they will take the wrong decisions, they will head in the wrong direction, they will go towards darkness, they will be led into dependencies on bodily forms of people who are claiming that, you know, I will give you this benefit, you don't need to do anything. Krishna says no. The soul self is the eternal aspect of you which will shine forth if you understand this. So it's a matter of understanding. So one who is in knowledge, Krishna is saying, one who understands this is already on the path towards liberation. So what are you being? Bondage of fear, anxiety, and birth, death, old age, disease, and all the transformations of the body that take place from time to time. So if you are established in your soul self, consciousness-wise, eventually you don't have to come back to a place which is constant, that go through these six transformations. So the ultimate goal of healers is to get to the spiritual point where they can be free of this, get to the point of spiritual enlightenment, which is working through everything that they are doing. So this is a step towards that. The basic step is that you need to understand the nature of the soul. And in order to understand the nature of the soul, you need the body. So the two are very different. So it is a constant system which is sitting inside a non-constant system. An eternal system which is within the changeable or the non-eternal, which is the body. So just as you are passing, Krishna has explained earlier, just as a living entity goes from youth, childhood, death, the consciousness is not changing, his identity is not changing. That is a symptom of the eternal aspect of the soul, but the body is very different. And since you can do nothing about that, it is foolish to lament for the body and to grieve, because this body is gone like an old garment which is used up and no more serviceable. Why will you hang on to an old rotten piece of garment? You get a new one, you should be happy, I'm getting a new garment.
Karma
is not attached to the soul. The karma is attached to the body, but the soul is within the body. So when the karma finishes of the body, the soul is liberated.
Then why does the soul need to be there?
Why does the soul
need to be there?
Because the karma is, it is still in the bodily entrapment. So therefore Krishna is saying, if you are free of illusion, you are free. But the point is, you don't suddenly become free of illusion. So it's a process. The one who knows the reality and one who is free of illusion, so the specific topic being addressed is that. The soul is, you can say, entrapped in the body. The body is the material nature which also emanates from Krishna. And because the living soul entity is very small, tiny, 1/10,000th the part of the tip of a human hair in terms of size, it is, the potencies are limited, but of a similar quality of as the divine. Krishna himself is unborn, unchangeable, and so on. So part of Krishna, of the divine, also share those qualities, but not infinitely. He is infinite in those qualities, the living entity is finite. So therefore they are overpowered by material nature once they come into illusion.
Without the consciousness, the soul goes with.
Yes. The consciousness is an aspect of the soul, and the soul does travel with consciousness and identifications.
Sir, if you are not very good at the materialistic aspect, you said the soul, you have to connect to the truth. But in material world, sometimes we can't see the situation, the truth of the situation, not spiritual enough.
If you can't see the truth of the situation, you have to understand why you can't see the truth of the situation. Is it something that the truth is there and you're not willing to see it? That's a different story. But if something is hidden from you and you have no means of finding out, that's a different story.
Yes,
if you get easily manipulated, you are in body consciousness, definitely. Ms. Pankaj, you had a question?
Yeah, some of it is already answered, but I'm just trying to...
Sure.
Soul travels from body to body.
Right.
So the soul would be to go back to the Godhead?
Yes.
And while soul and body in some ways are separate, they need to be together in order for the soul to be liberated to go back to the... There has to be some kind of equation between soul and the body, so that the soul is liberated to go beyond where it needs to go.
The material body is keeping the soul in illusion of the body consciousness. So Krishna is explaining in these shlokas that one who has the understanding and the knowledge of the soul is the beginning of wisdom and enlightenment, actually, and freedom from lamentation. Freedom from sorrow. Because all sorrow, all fear, all unhappiness is coming, that it is, I'm going to lose my body or something that is important, connect importance to, I'm not giving importance to the inner self. But the person who understands the truth about the inner self and the body, he does not lament. He does not have these sorrowful episodes, attached or emotionally bereft, when some aspect of your connection with another entity, with another embodied soul, is taken away because you are dependent on comfort from it. But eventually, it is just a change for that living entity, and you will always get something else in its place to help you along in your life. That is a different story. The specific point Krishna is addressing is that the soul, because it doesn't die and it doesn't cause anyone to be killed or is killed itself, there is no need to lament for the body, because the body is housing the soul. The soul never dies, it's only the body. And the body is basically being used to deliver karmic consequences to the living entity, or the soul self, you can say. But the soul is never affected by those. It is trapped.
Yeah.
It's an unwilling, in a way, path to get out of.
So the body has to let it go.
The
entity.
No, the entity has to let go of the body. The body consciousness. See, it is a little peculiar. We have not yet discussed the origins of the entrapment of the soul, but basically the soul gets into illusory consciousness that it is an independent controller, and that is the beginning of illusion. That is the descent into material nature, that I am an independent enjoyer as a master controller. So that is the first illusion. And that comes from being intoxicated. So intoxication is the primary cause of material appearance. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that with the idea that you are a controller or a doer, independent from the divine, that you are no more actually a dependent. That is the beginning of illusion and the downfall into material nature. It's as such a small thing. So intoxication is the root cause of being bound in regulated principles that are prescribed by various spiritual and religious organizations. One of the principles is no intoxication in gross material form, because you're already intoxicated in the subtle form, and adding to it by gross drugs, alcohol and so on, you are going further into illusion. So for a person who is wanting a way out, who has decided that he is going on the spiritual path, intoxication of all kind is forbidden, because that keeps you in illusion. Because what is the intoxication? Intoxication is poisoning of your intelligence, of your ability to see the truth. So the bodily concept and the bodily idea, you are intoxicated by a relationship with someone. You are dependent. That is also an intoxication in that sense. So these are all intoxicating things that permit you to see clearly. In order to see clearly, you must first be free of intoxication. At least be free of material intoxication ingredients, drugs, alcohol and so on and so forth. Because how will you see clearly otherwise? So this business of mind expanding drugs and, you know, trying to get you to a higher consciousness place is not really working out. It gets you to a place without your, the drugs remove all your protective shields from the layers of your aura, and then you are open to infection. So then other entities can take charge, and that is the birth of schizophrenia. Multiple personality disorder typically is different entities controlling your consciousness. So you can have infecting your third eye chakra, your crown chakra, and speaking through you. They are twisting, they are inspiring you to speak in a particular way. And in some very remarkable cases, there's a complete personality change. That's why it's called a multiple personality disorder. The person is actually speaking in a different voice with a different inflection, and he is speaking different things which he does not know. He may not have experience of it, so this is coming from some other space. So this is when you are infected. Schizophrenia is not as pronounced. There are other things. There are suspicion, there is ritualistic behavior, and there is violence, and again, the idea that I want something and I have to have it is a controlling thing. So all such behavior, I am the controller. That is the greatest intoxication that keeps the living entity trapped within the bodily self. So those things have to be removed, and when you do your healing systematically and sincerely, these things, and the most important thing, Sadhu Shastra Acharya, you must, the congregation, you must associate with this person who is in the position of spiritual master or guiding or instructing spiritual master. There are two kinds. One is initiating, one is Shiksha Guru, one is Diksha Guru. So, for example, you can get guidance from other spiritualists in our line, which is the, you can say, the Brahma Vaishnava line. So that's the bona fide line for our students. That is where the knowledge is coming from. We do not recommend fusing. So mainly you stay within the acharyas and the teachers within this line. You have access to all of them. So they will help you to understand. So there are certain literature and certain books that are recommended. You can read those and, you know, get the knowledge as is being put up on our website also. And then you need to correlate this with your own practical experience. And if you find a mismatch, you need to clarify that. Why is this mismatch? Last question.
Sir, how many lifetimes you need to wipe out?
How many lifetimes? It can be in one. It can be in one lifetime. This is one lifetime you have. Every lifetime of yours will be one. If you are born in a particular lifetime, that is, you connect with previous ones. So then, that question is...
Seeing that when we, spiritual master appear in their life...
Yes.
That will be the...
Well, it can be. It depends how much progress you make. See, spiritual master has a specific job, which is to open your eyes. How much you want to open your eyes is there. You can always go back to your old behavior. No, I'm too attached to this thing. I know this is the truth, but I can't take it. Okay. So that's happening. A lot of people are attached to this meditation and sleeping and going, you know, man will do all of their responsibilities. Nowhere it is told. Krishna is beating Arjun, telling him that, you know, you can't give up your responsibility and hand it over to someone else. I will become sannyasi, I will become this rubbish. This is not your dharma. So the same way if people are going here, there, yes, now here is a blank check, you look after my life, I will sleep in ignorance. You understand? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, thank you. We have some nice snacks for you downstairs.
You've been listening to Bhagavad Gita for All, a lecture series by Nalin K. Narula. Explore our website, gettingpositivekarmanow.com, for more on how to change your karma and destiny.